Your Bibles, please, for a very famous passage from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, very well-known passage. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto the king, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree, "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored until the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever." My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, who has not heard of the story of Daniel in the lion's den? We all know that story very well. But there are some details here that I think are in the text that need to be drawn out that are helpful for us in several different accounts. So the first thing is, remember that the night Belshazzar died, that Daniel was made the third ruler of the kingdom. We come into chapter 6, and that's exactly what we see. Daniel is the third ruler in the kingdom. There are two others ruling with him, and scholars are divided as to what those other two were. One of them perhaps has already died. That would be Belshazzar. And then the other, some would say, is Nabonidus, Belshazzar's father, who was still alive, perhaps. Or maybe there was a third. It's hard to know. But notice that Darius' understanding of Daniel is that he is the best ruler or sub-ruler, tripartite, that he's ever had, such that he wants to make him ruler over everything. Now, may I say it this way? Daniel did not wait for the kingdom of Media and Persia to become a covenanted nation in order for him to serve. Here he is serving in a heathen nation, serving his God, never violating his conscience. An excellent spirit is found in him, and notice that he is of great use in the kingdom, such that they want to make him ruler over all. Just like Joseph before in Egypt. He didn't wait until he had a covenanted nation. He was serving where he was planted, where the Lord had sent him in captivity, and so he served in good conscience, and that was recognized. The God of Daniel is recognized long before the scene with the lion's den because of Daniel's example. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, don't forget that. That's really important. Daniel has already witnessed to the greatness of his God when his enemies are forced to say, there is nothing in the kingdom we can assail him on. We must pass an unjust law against his religion, and that's the only way we're going to find fault with him. May it be true of ourselves that there is such a witness in us that our enemies who seek to do us harm would seek to do us harm only because it would be due to some practice of our worshiping God and never anything in the civil estate, because everything we do there is in uprightness. So Daniel is a good governor, a good ruler, and that is recognized by his superiors. And that is also a grace, that's a mercy from God, that good work of his is recognized. This is why we often pray for favor. You'll hear me pray sometimes when one of our men is seeking a new job, or maybe one young lady like we have today, or we're seeking a promotion or some kind of advancement, we pray for the Lord's favor with our employers, with those who are over us in the business realm. This is what Daniel has enjoyed. He has enjoyed the favor of Darius, his king, because of his excellent spirit that is found in him, his obedient and profitable use in the civil affairs of the kingdom of the Medes and Persians out here in the land of Babylon. So they figure out, his enemies that are no doubt jealous of his authority, they figure out that the only way they can assail him would be according to his faith. That's something to be remembered here. All right, so they come up with a plan to assail Daniel's practice of his thrice daily prayer toward Jerusalem in keeping with 1 Kings chapters 7 and 8 and the dedication of the temple in the days of Solomon. If thy people are taken captive, hear the prayer that they pray toward this place, bring them home, heal their land, and so on. Okay, so that's what Solomon said, and Daniel is obedient to the word of the king slash prophet. Three times in the day, he makes petition to God with his windows open toward Jerusalem to encourage himself in that prayer to remember where his home is. Jerusalem is a type of the heavenly Jerusalem. Right? Okay, so Darius makes the decree. One thing I will make note of with you here is that even in natural heathen kingdoms that have no real knowledge of the law of God, it is still understood that the king does not rule by whim. The king rules by force of law. And once the law is passed, according to the Medes and the Persians, not even the king can touch it. Remember the old work written by our good friend Samuel Rutherford in the 17th century? It had a scandalous title. The scandalous title was Lex Rex. What's the scandal? The scandal is that it was in direct opposition to the monarchs of Europe of that day who believed that they ruled by divine right, which would be expressed in the Latin Rex, Lex. The king is law. Rather, Rutherford says, no, Lex Rex, the law is king. This is a lesson that Darius learned in a very difficult fashion that night, that he could not overturn the law of the Medes and Persians. Notice that in an unbelieving nation, still they understood you can't let kings have unbridled authority. There is a natural rule. Even the natural man understands in that sense. Oh, that we would remember that in our day. So the king established the decree. He signed the writing that it be not changed. And so now, verse 10. Notice how Daniel begins. I believe Daniel's writing this. He's writing it, obviously, in the third person. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel did this, what he's about to do here, in full knowledge that he was in defiance of civil order. Why? Because Daniel knows who's truly in charge of things. He's obeying the voice of God spoken through his prophet King Solomon. Daniel knows the scripture. And so, what does Daniel do? May I say it this way? Exactly what he did before. The decree of a petty dictator did not change his practice one whit. And may I say it this way? My own interpretation of this passage is that to change his practice one whit would have been to accede to the petty dictator more authority than was proper or right. He did not change his practice one bit. He threw the windows open toward the west, where Jerusalem was, and he prayed three times in the day as before. Did the command issued by Solomon require that David open his windows? Nope. What would it have been, however, to close the windows? it would have been for him to change his practice based on an unjust law. And he refused to give that any countenance. So he did not change his practice at all. Daniel never changed his practice. So that made it an easy target, right? That made him an easy target. They saw him. They peeked in through his windows. They were spying on him. They had a pretty good idea. They strongly opined, as we say, that he would be obedient. And he was. And so then they brought their accusation. The behavior of Daniel all the way through this accusation is something to be noted, although we're often focused on Darius and his regrets and his seeking to overturn that silly law that he himself signed. We want also to notice Daniel's comportment throughout this time. He does not resist. He does not accuse him of being a petty tyrant. He continues to show him honor and respect all the way throughout. When Darius shows up in the morning after Daniel has been there, I emphasized it in the reading, he hears Darius' voice, and what are his words? O king, live forever. This to the guy that's made a decree that has landed you, one more night with the lions. O king, live forever. So let's make sure that we remember that as well, that the civil righteousness that Daniel expressed even before this ordeal never waned one bit. We hear a lot of people who have perhaps a good argument when they call people petty tyrants. I just said that myself. We would say that here, but we would not ever call one of our magistrates rightly, oh, you petty tyrant, you have no authority over me, and they have that, chin out and you're in your face kind of attitude. We don't see that here with Daniel. We don't see it at all. This is why we said that, if we're meeting outside and the magistrate comes, and what are we going to do? If he tells us to go home, we're going to go home. We're going to show that honor in that respect. And we will take that up another day when things are less tense and so on. Anyway, so here we have then this miraculous deliverance. I know that there are these happy cartoons that we see in children's books, smiling lions and Daniel petting them. I don't know that went like that. Okay. However, Daniel was spared. One way or another, Daniel was spared. And the way Daniel described it is he shut the mouths of the lions. Well, I think they just didn't have any interest in Daniel. I think that's the least we can say. That Daniel was able to stay in the lion's den unharmed all night. I don't think, they became his lap pets or anything like that. All right, so then notice Darius then. He went to his palace and he passed the night fasting after having exhausted all of his means. He picked up another means. He went fasting into his palace. Not the standard fare for a king. Normally he would have had a party with some wine, a good meal, and some music. And he put all of that from him. So we see the godly effect that Daniel has had upon Darius. And that's a good thing. We want to leave that kind of awake wherever we go ourselves. And then finally we see Daniel's honor and respect to him in verse 22. My God hath shut the mouths of lions after he says, O king, live forever. And the king was exceeding glad for Daniel and commanded that they should take up Daniel out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. May I say that the fact that he believed in his God was the genesis or the foundation of every good action that we see here in this chapter of Daniel, not just that he was delivered out of the lion's mouths. All right, so then finally the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Lest you think these were old and sickly lions that just didn't have it in them, we see the miraculous nature of God's deliverance, and then we also see the just punishment upon those who would unjustly put a sentence of death upon someone. Remember that the Bible says that those who bring a false accusation, if it is proven to be a false accusation, whatever punishment you thought to inflict upon someone through a false accusation becomes the punishment that you suffer yourself. What a great deterrent to false accusation. We don't have that anymore in our day. If we did, much of the silliness that goes on in our nation with regard to civil suits and so on, that would go away. It would certainly go away. All right, so then we have the decree. Darius wrote, "Unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel," and so on and so forth. God's name is magnified in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. It is out of those Medes and Persians, remember, that the Magi will come seeking Christ when he is born. That knowledge persisted for about 5 centuries until the birth of Christ. All because a young man, originally taken to captivity in Babylon, started out by saying, "I will not defile myself with the king's meat." And notice where it ends. One step upon one step upon one step, a godly witness here and a godly witness there. And who knows what the Lord will do with such a witness as that. Don't say, "I'm a captive, I have no say." Don't say it, because you may be the next Daniel. You may be the next Joseph. Who knows what the Lord will do with a competent and consistent witness for his name, such that the only way we can be assailed is if we are asked to cross the God of heaven. With that then, let's stand and continue praising.